You're listening to Living Stones Community Church Podcast. For more information about Living Stones, just check out our website at lsccc.com. Have a great day. God bless.
Thanks, guys. If you have your copy of Scripture, go to Daniel chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10, I just want to say thank you on behalf of our family. My mom, those of you may not know, my mom passed away last Saturday and spent the week in Texas. And she was 85 years old. She loved Jesus and she was ready to go. And so that helped a whole lot. Her celebration of life was an incredible, God-honoring thing. And I'm just blessed to be a part of it. Talk a little bit about it, but I just want to thank you for the cards, letters, texts, phone calls, you know, carrier pigeons, whatever. We sense and felt your prayers, and so just really grateful for that. Really, I'm grateful for that. So, Daniel 10, we've kind of been I kind of paused a little before I called it a series because we started it back in January or July 12th, and kind of have this is our fourth series, our fourth. In the series that we've been doing, so it hasn't been consecutive, but we've been in the book of Daniel and been looking at this amazing Old Testament book, and our focus has been around the theme of stand. And week one, we talked about standing out when God calls us to be different. Week two, we talked about standing up for that which is right and true. Week three, we talked about standing strong in the middle of opposition. And today we're going to be looking at standing in faith. And I'm really excited for you today. I'm excited for those of you that perhaps have been praying for something for a long time, maybe something or someone, and you've been believing God for something significant. You've humbled yourself before Him. You're believing, going in prayer, believing that God's going to do it, but He hasn't answered your prayer yet. Anybody ever experienced that? You haven't seen any results yet, and if that's you, I believe this message will speak to you. Some of you have been praying for a long time for relationships or for healing or maybe for a friend to come or a loved one to come to Christ. And though you've prayed believing, you haven't seen the results. And I believe God's going to minister to you and to us in a very special way as we look at Daniel chapter 10. A little bit of context here. If you're with us from the beginning, we picked it up when Daniel was a teenager at the first of the book. And last time we talked about Daniel in the lion's den, by that time he's 80 years old when he's in the lion's den. We think of the felt board and stuff like that, and we think of Daniel, this young, handsome guy, when he's in the lion's den. He was 80 years old, or in his 80s, and by now he's even older than that. And I say that just to say this, that he has been walking with God for decades. He's been seeking God for decades, standing firm in the faith, believing that God would do the miraculous. In week one, we saw how King Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the temple, and he captured all these teenage young men, and he made them into slaves. Daniel, for decades, has been praying that God would restore the temple that was destroyed, and that his Jewish brothers and sisters who've been in bondage for all these years would be released to go back to their homeland. And there were some signs that this might actually happen. But all of a sudden, in chapter 10, he receives a vision from God that was so disturbing to him and for him that all he could do was to go to seek God in prayer. I mean, he saw a vision of more war and more hardships. And he's like, God, I've been praying for years, for decades, and now I see more hard times coming, and I'm not sure I can take it any longer. And so Daniel did what Daniel always did when he faced difficulties. He went to God in prayer. The Bible says that he fasted and prayed for 21 days. And at the end of the 21-day period, he had a vision of this angelic being. And we're not totally sure who this angelic being is, but I agree with most biblical scholars that believe that it was probably the pre-incarnate Christ. And I want to stop here just to try to explain a little bit about this. The Bible teaches that God was there from the beginning. He was there from the foundation of the world. The Bible teaches that God is a triune being, that he's three in one, which means that he's a singular being existing in a plural manner. And so there's God the Father, God the Son, which is Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit. And so they have been here from the beginning. And Jesus appears in the New Testament. We know that he appears in bodily form. We'll be celebrating that around Christmas time. But he existed before even the foundation of the world. And in the Old Testament, there were times when Jesus makes an appearance, and it's known as a Christophany. And most theologians think that this in Daniel 10 is a Christophany. And I'm going to preach it as if it were Christ, because if I'm going to err, I'm going to err on Jesus. Amen? And so look at Daniel 10 with me, starting in verse 5. Here's what Daniel said. He said, I looked up, and I saw a man dressed in linen clothing with a belt of pure gold around his waist. Verse 6, his body looked like a precious gem. His face flashed like lightning, and his eyes flamed like torches. I mean, that when you just read that part, that immediately, if you know Scripture at all, it takes you to Revelation 19, because that's the verbiage there in describing John's vision of Jesus. Verse 6 says, his arms and his feet shone like the polished bronze, and his voice roared like a vast multitude of people. Verse 7, Daniel said, only I saw this vision. The men with me saw nothing, but they were suddenly terrified and ran away to hide. And so I was there, left all alone to see this amazing vision. Now, though others were with Daniel, he was the only one that saw it. They didn't experience it. And when you stop and think about it, that's really not that uncommon. I mean, how many of you have ever been in church, maybe a worship service? Maybe you've been to a camp, or maybe you've been, you've been reading the same passage of Scripture. Maybe your Sunday school class has challenged you each week. We're going to read this passage before we come back. How many of you have done something like that, and God just spoke to you? You're in the middle of worship. You're listening, you're singing the same words that everybody else is around you, or maybe you've gone to a camp, you're hearing the same thing as everybody else, but God speaks to you. Anybody that ever happened to you? God speaks to you. He may not have spoken to anybody, but there was a word for you. It's like he opened the gates of heaven, and God's speaking directly to you. I mean, it's not uncommon for you to be with a large number of people, and God speak to you. And so Daniel is the only one that experienced this. And I believe one reason why some of us don't hear things from God, the reason why maybe some of us aren't receptive to God's voice and his speaking of life, is because our hearts aren't prepared for that. That's why we need to be ready each week when we come in here. You know, it's not just me and the Sunday school teachers and Adam and everybody else it's not just our responsibility to be prepared on Sunday morning. You're to be prepared. As you come to go worship, as you come to corporate worship, it's your responsibility to make sure you're hearing from God, to come expectant hearing from God. That's the reason why we don't hear from God, is because we don't prepare. I mean, one of the things, just a practical application, my parents used to instill this in us, is you go to bed early enough on Saturday night where you're ready, fresh, and you're rested for Sunday morning. I mean, some of you wouldn't think about staying up all night long before you go to work. Why do you do that before you worship on Sunday? So we need to be prepared to hear God. Amen? Amen. I'm not mad at you. I'm just challenging. Okay? So do you come here on Sunday mornings with an expectation to hear from God? Daniel has a moment like this, and verse 8 says, so I was left there all alone to see this amazing vision. He's in the presence of Christ with this angelic being, and he says, my strength has left me. My face grew deathly pale, and I felt very weak. Verse 9, he says, then I heard the man speak, and when I heard the sound of his voice, I fainted and laid there with my face on the ground. I mean, that's powerful. Last week, Mom passed away. She passed away on Saturday morning, and Saturday night, I believe it was, those of you that don't know, my mom, she was 85 years old. My dad was a pastor. He's been gone for 30 years. She remarried, and she and my stepdad moved to Denton, north of Dallas. And my mom has a real heart to minister. And in fact, I talked to the staff at a First Baptist church there in Denton, a large church, and they just, one after the other, just said, your mom was just unbelievable. Your mom, yeah. I mean, when you have just a volunteer in your church that is passionate about serving the Lord, that's more powerful than a staff member. I mean, it is, because they're doing it. And so she left a ripple. When she died, she impacted this world. And literally, she, you know, one of the last things she did the last 30 years was working with international students. Denton has two major colleges in there, and international students from all over the world can't even speak English would come to Denton, which is a hub for that. And she, my mom didn't speak any other language other than Texan and English. And so, but she spoke with love. I mean, she knew. And so she would have those students into her home. And the way she taught them English was to teach them the Bible. And led many of them to the Lord. And they're literally all over the world. And which is pretty amazing. And so I just got on her Facebook page. And I just kind of just brought them up to date. Their mom had passed. And the thing that I said, I just said that this morning my mom passed away. I wrote it on her Facebook page, and I said that we weren't ready to let her go, but she was ready, and she went peacefully into the Father's time, and then I made this statement. I said she joined others that had gone before her in face-to-face worship of the one that she adored and lived for. The more I thought about that since I've been home, it probably wasn't face-to-face worship. When she saw Jesus, she probably fell at her feet, fell on her face, and just worshiped him. Daniel said, I hear the sound of his voice. I could no longer stand, and I fell face down. And it says, I began to see God for who he is, kind of like Isaiah, if you remember that. When Isaiah got a vision of the Lord, the Bible says it made him keenly aware what was going on. He said, woe is me. Remember that? When we get a fresh vision of God, we see ourselves. We see him clearly for who he is, and we see ourselves clearly for who we are, and we see the wretchedness. And sometimes, I don't know if you ever have those moments when you see your sin in the presence of an almighty God, it's like, woe is me. And you bow, and you say, God, I'm unworthy. Principle here is that the more we see God for who he is, the clearer we see ourselves. The Bible says, God says, those who seek after me will find me when they search me with their whole heart. As we continue to walk through the rest of this passage, I believe there's some applications for us in this area of standing firm. If you want to take notes, there's an area in the back of your bulletin to do that. Specifically, how do you stand firm in faith? When you've been praying and praying and you don't see anything happen, I believe there's three things that we need to remember in those times. The first one is this. First thing you need to remember, if you're taking notes, you need to always remember that God cares about you more than you do. God cares about you more than you do. That's a lot. When you speak to these teenagers, that's a lot, because teenagers care a whole lot about themselves. Amen? Isn't that right? Come on. You know that's right. You need to remember that God cares about you more than you do. Verse 10, Daniel says, just then a hand touched me, and it lifted me up. I don't know about you. Anytime I hear read a passage, I got songs pop in my head, so I think of the old hymn, Love Lifted Me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. He said, just then a hand touched me, and it lifted me up. Now watch this. The hand of God never extends to condemn. He never extends to condemn. God's hand always extends to lift up. When I preached my mom's celebration service last week, I concluded with the challenge. There's a large portion of our family that was there. And cousins and aunts that I hadn't seen, and uncles I hadn't seen in a long time. And so they're there. And so basically I concluded the service, and I just, you know, I wore a suit last week. Can you believe that? The coat didn't make it very long when I started preaching, but at near the end of the service, I stepped around. I left my notes, and I got in front, and I just spoke to the family. And I said that when Mom passed away, Mom effectively ran the race. I told them, I didn't have to look any farther than my house to see what it looked like to follow Jesus. I didn't have to try to look that up. All I had to do is look in the room where my mom was and my dad was, and they gave me an example of what it meant to love Jesus and to love others. They did it. They walked it out. And so when she passed away, she effectively ran the race, and when she passed away, she passed the baton to the next generation. And my challenge to them was that it's our turn to run the race. And basically, I shared with them what I share with them. It's kind of like my life message is this. So I said, don't waste your life on things that don't matter. Love Jesus. Love people. Give your life to something that matters. And when I speak like that from time to time, I get a little passionate. I really do. And some people think I get mad. I'm not mad. I'm just passionate. My aunt, we called her Aunt Pod. Her name was Aunt Rudine, which, take a pick, kind of weird name either way. But anyway, she said, you were just like your dad up there. He said, you remind me of your dad. He used to shake his finger when he'd be preaching. I just want to bite his finger off, you know. Another member of the family came up afterwards, and she wasn't too happy about what I said at the end because I got a little bit passionate. And her exact words were, Dan, you scared my children. Now listen, her children were ages 24 through 32. I said, your children need to be scared. With a mom like you, especially. But I mean, here's the deal. We all need a dose of reality. We all need to hear truth. And it may sound harsh. I mean, I raise my voice. I'm passionate. I may raise my voice, but I want you to see that it's because, number one, I'm called to tell you the truth. And I hope that you always sense that I'm doing it out of a love for you. And when God extends, I'm saying all that to say this, that God loves you, has a wonderful plan for your life, and I want you to know that that the hand of God never extends to condemn you, but to lift you up. He extends his hand to lift you up. And he loves you enough to let you hit rock bottom. He loves you enough to let you get to the end of yourself. And sometimes that's the only way a lot of us look up to him, is we have to hit rock bottom before we look up. This is what Daniel says. The hand of God touched me and he lifted me, still trembling to my hands and my knees. And verse 11 says, the man said to me, Daniel, you're very precious to God. One of the other translations says, Daniel, you're greatly loved. So listen carefully to what I have to say. I mean, there's somebody here this morning. Maybe this is the whole reason why you're here today, is that you just need to know that you are greatly loved by God. You're precious. You know, I love a lot of people. I love a lot of people. There's very few people that make that precious list. God says, you're precious to me. You're precious to me. You're valuable to God. And God says there's nothing you can do to make you love you more, and there's nothing you can do that make you love you any less. He loves you because that's just who he is. That's his nature. You're precious to God. The word precious means valuable. Daniel goes on. The voice says in verse 11, you're precious to God, so listen carefully to what I say to you. Notice what he says here. Stand up. For I've been sent to you. And Daniel says, when he said this to me, I stood up trembling. The first thing that you need to remember when you're standing firm in faith is, number one, is that God loves you. He cares for you more than you do. The second thing, if you're taking notes, is God is doing more than you understand. God's doing more than you understand. In fact, he's doing way more than you understand. Verse 12 says, then he said to me, don't be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day you began to pray for understanding and to humble yourself before God, your request has been heard in heaven. I have come to answer your prayer. God's saying, Daniel, your request was heard in heaven. And I've come to answer your prayer. Now watch this. It's going to get a little bit strange here. Verse 13 says, but for 21 days, the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia blocked my way. Then Michael, one of the archangels, came to help me, and I left him there with the spirit prince of kingdom of Persia. Let's talk about this a little bit because it's really interesting, especially for those of you that have been praying for a long time and nothing has happened. And so you're getting to that place where you're wondering if it's worth it. You're beginning to have thoughts with why bother, that God doesn't care, and you feel like you're just kind of wasting your breath. God's not listening, or it's not his will. Maybe it's not his will to do what you're asking. Listen to what this verse says. Understand what it's saying is. This verse is saying that the first time you humbled yourself and you called upon the name of God, that he heard your prayer. He heard your prayer. The first time you prayed for direction in a certain area of your life, God heard your prayer. The first time that you prayed for your marriage to be healed, God heard your prayer. The first time you prayed for your child to return back to God, and beg God to do a miracle, God heard your prayer. And the Bible teaches that he loves it when we cry out to him in prayer. He loves the faithful, persistent prayer of his saints. But the first time you cried out in faith, believing, heaven opened up and God heard your prayer. You say, well, Dan, how come God's not answering? How come God's not answering my prayer then? There may be very many reasons for that. I mean, one may be timing. One may be that God, thing is, so how many of us, pray to God asking him to do something and we already have the answer of how God ought to answer the prayer? Anybody go with that? And so if he doesn't go that way, then we think, well, God doesn't care. No, he may have, his ways are higher than your ways. He knows more than you. And so he may choose to answer your prayer in a different way. But there's another reason that this pastor talked. There may be another reason why he's not answering. Verse 13 gives us a reason. Notice this. It says, but for 21 days, the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia blocked my way. And most biblical scholars believe, and I agree, that this is a demonic force. You may remember that in the early days that some of the angels rebelled against God, and they're known as fallen angels. And many believe that there's a demonic force that do battle in the kingdom world today. And so we need to remember that. New Testament talks about it. Ephesians 6:2 says that our struggle or our battle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against powers and principalities of the dark world. In other words, what you see with your eyes is not all there is. Which means that Aunt Sally isn't your enemy. Which means your boss isn't your problem. Now, they may be a willing participant being used by the enemy, but there's something deeper going on. That there's more than just this physical realm. For 21 days after you prayed, Christ was sent, verse 13. And there was a battle going on in the heavenly realms with this evil force. Then Michael, one of the archangels, came to help me out. I left him there to deal with this prince from Persia. And this is, again, the incarnate Christ. I'm going to Daniel as an answer to his prayer. So here's what's so powerful to me, and I hope that is an encouragement to us, especially as we pray. I mean, think about this. Daniel prayed, and he continued to pray. And even when he didn't see anything happening, he continued to pray. But just because he didn't see anything happening doesn't mean that God's not doing something. And just because you're not seeing anything doesn't mean that God's not at work somewhere. The first time you cried out to God in faith, believing, he released his angelic beings and they're doing battle on your behalf in a way that you don't even understand. And you need to keep on praying and to keep believing. And even though you may not see anything, don't give up. And that's the word for somebody this morning. Because you're on the verge of giving up. You need to press on. You have no idea what kind of battle is going on in the heavenly realms from a God who loves you so much that he's working behind the scenes to do things that you can't see, that you won't even understand, because he cares about you. Just because you don't see anything doesn't mean that God's not up to something. So keep believing. Keep standing in faith, remembering that he cares about you more than you do, that he's doing way more than you understand. And number three, you're taking notes. God's strength is made perfect in your weakness. Immediately, I think about what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12 when he wrote, God said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. It's in your weakness where God's strength is made known. That there's something that happens when we get to the end of ourselves, when we get to the end of our strength, when we have nothing left, and we humbly cry out to him. It's then that he steps in and he takes over. And you may be here this morning like feeling like you've got nothing left, feeling like your situation is hopeless, and you're at your end of your rope. And if that's you, then you're at a good place. You're on the verge of a breakthrough. Man, immediately, there's three times that I remember, and I know there's been more than this, but three times where I was remembering being at a place like that, and God used either a camp or a conference where I was out to get. I mean, there was one time in Solomon Springs, Arkansas, one of those camps, and we were going through so much stuff at the church I was on staff with at that time, and I went there, and I was so spiritually dry. And I'm leading worship that way. I mean, spiritually dry. And I remember in that week of camp, God gave me a drink. I mean, it felt like a cool glass of water. He gave me a drink. And he didn't solve the problems back there, but he gave me a strength. And I walked away with faith and courage to go on. There's another time, not too long ago, back in the 90s, there's another time when I was the same church, and man, we were going through some battle. There were some staff issues going on and just some big hairy mess. It was just so crazy. And I remember there's four staff members, and we went down separately. Two of us flew down. We went to a pastor's Promise Keeper event in Atlanta, and we went down there, and for whatever reason, everybody came back separately, and I'm sitting there left on the Georgia Dome on the floor by myself the last night of the conference. And man, I'm just thinking, my world's just swirling with everything that's going on back there. And I remember Joseph Garlington was leading that worship that night. And I remember I'm sitting there, about 60,000 other pastors in that place. And I'm sitting there, and Joseph Garlington begins to teach a song, "Knowing You, Jesus, knowing You, there is no greater thing. You're my rock, you're my strength, my everything." And God met with me on that Georgia Dome carpet. Nothing changed back home, but I got a drink, and it gave me courage. Another time, not too long ago, this church about midway back in 2010, I remember walking away. There was a time when we were going through stuff, And God led people to go away. But, you know, when you begin a church, statistically, the average is that within year three, half the people you begin the church with leave. And most of the time, the people that leave are the ones that are closest to the pastor. And so that we beat the odds. We made it about year four and a half, but that happened. And I remember people stepped away from this church, people that I'd known since they were teenagers, loved them like family. And my heart was ripped out. We lost so much leadership in this place. And I remember the summer of 2010 of saying, "God, I'm not sure. If you're ready to shut this thing down, well, you know, I'll do whatever you want me to do." And I remember being really hopeless. And I went to a conference by myself in Dallas, Texas. And I remember going to the first session, and Andy Stanley was speaking, and he said something about courage. And it's like God gave me I just felt like a shot of courage. I remember I stepped out and I called Jana and I said, "Jana, I don't know what's happening here, but here's what I do know. God's got our next step. I don't know anything. God's got our next step." There's something about being in the presence of Almighty God. In that place to where, in each one of those times, I was at the place where I had done everything I could do. I was worn slick. There was nothing and in my weakness, there was no place else except to look up except to him. And God did something in my life. And now he didn't immediately solve the problem, but he did give me hope. And he did give me courage. Why? Because it's in your weakness that God's strength is known. But until you fully embrace your weakness, you'll never appreciate his strength. Until you stop trying to help God out and manipulate things, you'll never understand his strength. My mom, a lot of memories that went by this week and will continue. We In fact, I head back down to Dallas this week to hopefully wrap things up. You can pray for me this week, me and Jana, as we go. Had a lot of memories of just all kinds of seasons of life, but teenage years, and I was your typical teenager. I mean, I'm not as perfect. I wasn't as perfect then as I am now, and so, I mean, I was a typical teenager, and so that means there were some times when I differed, our viewpoints differed. Did that ever happen at your house? Come on, teenagers, did that happen at your house ever? Yeah. Don't keep you guys awake one way or the other. But I remember several of those times when we'd be having one of those heated discussions. Maybe I was wanting to do something and my parents didn't want me to do it or whatever. And I remember several occasions when maybe at the end of that time we've said everything we could say, argued all we could say, and my mom would say this. Here's Dan. Little Dan. I'm just turning you over to God. You're one of His. That's between you and Him. I hated that. She said, it's okay with Him. What you're wanting to do, it's okay with us. In other words, what she's saying is, I'm worn out. You worn me slick. And so I'm turning you over to God. Daniel, verse 17, says to Christ, or this angelic being, he says, how can someone like me, your servant, talk to you, my Lord? My strength is gone. I can't hardly breathe. That just that alone describes exactly where some of you are this morning. You're at that place where you're just worn out. Your strength is gone. I love verse 18. He says, then the one who looked like a man touched me again, and I felt my strength returning. And then verse 19, he repeats himself. He says, don't be afraid. You know, Daniel, in case you didn't hear it the first time, I'm going to tell you again. You are very precious to God. Peace. Be encouraged. Be strong. Keep standing in faith. Remember that the first time you prayed, that God heard your prayer and He released His angelic force to do the work in the heavenly realms. And God may answer your prayer and do exactly what you want Him to do, or He may not. Just because you don't see anything doesn't mean He's not up to something. And people around you, they're going to wonder, how are you still standing? How come you haven't given up? And you're going to look them in the face and say, I don't have a clue. But here's one thing I know for sure. My God cares for me more than I know. And I trust Him with my next step. Where He leads me, I'll go. Would you stand to your feet? Stand to your feet. Father, we just come to you this morning. And God, just thank you so much for the promises of your word. Thank you that you are a good God. And Scripture says that you work all things for the good, not for anybody, but for those that love you and are called according to your purpose. So God, may we live our lives pursuing you. May we live our lives just pressing into who you've called us to be. And God, for those in this morning, and I can relate to, many of us can relate to those this morning that are just at the end of the rope. Those this morning that have prayed and prayed and prayed and nothing's happening, you feel like giving up. God, I pray, Father, that you would give them a dose of yourself. That you'd give them the courage and the faith to keep believing, to keep pressing in, to not give up, to stand in faith. Father, drive us to your word and the promises of your word. Help us to see that there's never that a negative thought, there's nothing ever positive that comes out of a negative thought. So help us to dwell on your word. Sing it with me. How marvelous, oh, how wonderful, and my soul shall ever be. How marvelous, oh, how wonderful is my Savior. Amen. Thank you for being here. Now go walk. in the truth of his word this week. God bless you. We'll see you next week. Thank you.